Okay, so the topic I want to cover now. So for those of you who are on Thursday, this will pick up on certain things there, but it stands alone as well, or on Tuesday rather. What I want to do is the halakhic question I want to look at is the question of whether a Shomer Shabbos doctor or soldier should dock a switch or not switch with a not Shomer Shabbos doctor or soldier for a shift that takes place on Shabbat. But to get there, we're going to read a Gemara which appears pretty much identical in Nazir and in Kiddushin. And as I promised on Tuesday, it's a Gemara where the Lamdus and the philosophy are very, very closely linked. And you realize that the halachic issue that is being negotiated here is predicated on very, very, very important philosophical questions that have very, very direct parallels in legal, in most legal literature in most countries, including American law. And it happens to be based on this week's Parsha, so there you go. Okay? But we're going to read it. So like I said, you know, the previous year was like 45 minutes, and we had 6 pages of Makara. This is like an hour and whatever, a half, I don't know, and it's 2 pages of Makara, of which half is translated. It's still going to take us that if we want to do this right. Okay? So what I want to do is read this Gemara very, very, very carefully. Good? Ten Rabbah. Isha hafeiram v'ashem yislach la. Okay, what does that mean? It's discussing vows. Good. Now, more specifically. If a wife makes an oath and a husband nullifies it, and then what happens? She breaks the vow, right? So the way the Gemara is going to do it is she breaks the vow without knowing, right? This is what the Gemara is going to assume, right? So that's the Gemara's assumption here, is that she breaks the vow. Oh, Zucker, how you doing? Here. So she breaks the vow not knowing that the vow no longer exists. Yes. No.
And she breaks it.
No. All the pasuk says, Isha afiram v'ashem yislach la. Okay? That's all we know, is that her husband has nullified the vow and God forgives her for something. Right? So now, what's the problem that the Gemara is responding to? Which is?
What needs forgiveness?
If her husband has nullified the vow, what needs forgiveness? Right? That's the background. So now the Gemara comes and says, the case is, Be'isha she'fer la ba'ala v'hi lo yada. Hakatuv Medaber. It's talking about a case where the husband had nullified the vow and the wife did not know. And she then violated it. Right? Now, did she do anything wrong? You tell me. So halachically, she does nothing wrong because she vowed to not eat ice cream. Her husband said, I would like you to be able to eat ice cream. He nullifies the vow, and she was overcome with a desire to have ice cream, right? God will forgive her for eating the ice cream because was it aser for her to have the ice cream? No. So now the Gemara asks the obvious point, which is, okay, stage one. Now, stage two. Ukishahaya magia Rabbi Akiva etzel pasuk ze haya bocha. When Akiva reached this pasuk, he would cry. If someone who intended to eat pig and ended up eating, what was it, tlev? A lamb, right? Which is kosher. The Torah says he needs kapara. Hamitkaven la'alot biyado basar chazir v'ala biyado basar chazir. One who intends to eat pig and does eat pig, al achat kama v'kama. How much more so does he need forgiveness? Now, there's a lot packed into those two lines. Okay, so now let's talk about sin. Let's talk about sin. Yeah.
I just want to add also because it's interesting because if it were flipped, if he intended to eat
good. Guess what? Guess who's going to discuss that? Next line. Gimel. right? I divided and numbered this, yeah? Okay, good. But let's freeze here for a second, okay? We have to be very careful. Rabbi Akiva makes a statement. What does he say? He says, if someone intended to eat pig and ate lamb needs kapara, someone who intends to eat pig eats pig, how much more so does he need? What is Rabbi Akiva doing? What is he telling you? So he says, when the Torah says you need to forgive, that implies you need forgiveness. And then he says something, right? He makes a he makes a halachic claim, a philosophical claim. What does he assume?
He makes a split. He separates an action from the
avera
and the action
of the heart. Good. So he says there's two parts to every avera. Right? This is why it's connected to Tuesday. There is the act. And there is the intention. Okay? Now let's be very careful. Which, in this stage of the Gemara, okay, what is the only obvious case in which, before you got to this Gemara, you would be chayev? You intend to do something wrong and you didn't. Good, because now you have intent and you have the action. Yes? Don't get fancy yet. Don't get fancy yet. Let's read carefully, 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 carefully. You'll give it to me in a second. But before we parallel it, what is he saying? He's telling you that don't be deceived. Every sin has at least two components. Okay? And what?
Both
individually. Well, we don't see, we don't know that yet. We didn't say that yet. Oh, good. We didn't say that yet. Right? At this line, he didn't say that yet. He'll say that in the next line. Right? But at this line, what do we know?
That intent is there.
That intent to commit sin is problematic. Good. Is it? Well, problematic is a very vague term, but it's good. Why? Problematic how? Good. That's all we know. Right? It's problematic enough that it needs kapara. Does it tell us it's a full sin? We don't know, because we don't know whether you only need kapara for full sins.
He implies not, because he says that and the action makes it worse.
Oh, good. He implies that it's not complete, but the question is how incomplete is it? Very good, right? Is it that every, so, right, good. So is it, there's two, so you could look at, right, so Yosef points out, what you have to ask is, wait a second, what is he saying? Is it that every sin is really two sins, the intent, the sin, and the act, and therefore you've done one and not the other, or is it that every sin has two components? Wow, very good. Is it, and what do I mean? Do I mean it legally, right? I couldn't mean it legally. Well, I can't mean it legally, except...
Why not?
Well, if let's say you, if it ends up being two
averos,
then you have,
two averos would be weird. I'm not, okay, but it's hard to say legally because, well, but remember, the upshot is that you get slicha the kapara, which implies that it's not the full sin, right? You need kapara, which implies it's something, but you get kapara, which implies that it's not the full sin
without doing anything.
Right? Without doing tshuva, right? You can get tshuva for all sin, but here she's getting kapara without doing tshuva, right? Which implies that it's not the full sin, that's why she gets kapara even without tshuva. Right? Oh, very good, right? Right, there's something wrong, right? Now, but you could say, very good, but you could say, well, maybe there's kapara, but there's not something else. So, right, if you know, the Rav's drash out on tshuva, he'll say, wait, there's kapara, which is technically being exonerated from punishment, but there's another part of tshuva, and that is tahara, which is restoring the relationship with God. Maybe that wouldn't happen, right, because she did try to sin, right? Now I want to push you farther, okay? So far what we have is that sin has two components, and at this point in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva has now introduced the possibility that intent to sin without sin is at least spiritually problematic enough that it needs kapara, but not fully as problematic as having both gabonim such that one gets kapara without tshuva, but we can talk about whether it has doesn't get other things. Right? Are we? Is that where we are so far? Right? Oh, very good. So that was where I was going to go. It's Chaim is 5 steps ahead of me. And he says, whoa, wait a second. You're jumping. You're saying, oh, this Gemara is a deep philosophical, right, meditation on whether sin is about action and whether it's about intent. Be careful. Be careful. That's a maximalist read. But there's a minimalist read. What's a minimalist read? Right, meaning this isn't your normal case, right? This is if I intend to do a sin, and I do an action thinking it is sinful. So there is an action, right? So maybe the Gemara isn't saying that intent to sin by itself is problematic. It's intent to sin that you follow through. Now, why is that important? Because we talked about on Tuesday, right? It might be that Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarev Machshava LeMaase, if I plan to do a sin and never do it because I might not go through with it, right? But if you went through with it, you just didn't know that it on a technicality it wasn't Asur. So now, right? You might have thought it's just as bad. Why would you have thought it's just as bad? Well, okay. Well, you would have thought it's just as bad. Be careful. Why would it be just as bad? No. Why would it be just as bad as actually committing the crime?
Because from a person's perspective, they're doing everything of the affair.
Yeah, and what does that assume? Very good. That assumes that what makes a sin bad is the intent rather than the act. Right? You understand the Habamina? Right, the Havamina is that what makes an act wrong is the intent. So now, remember on Tuesday we mentioned this briefly, right? Let's talk philosophically now. Right? Like, remind me. Different theories of ethics. What? Good. So we talked about three main theories. There's virtue ethics. Virtue ethics is the point of ethical systems is to make you a better person. Within a virtue ethics system, does it make sense that the intent to commit a crime, coupled with an act that you thought was a crime, is basically the same as actually committing the crime? It 100% does, because I thought I was eating not, right, something that is basically not kosher, and I ate something, right, fully intending to do it, so now I didn't even realize this is, right, and what are, right, remember I said one of the critiques of, well, let's talk about another one, right, another model is consequentialism, right? Consequentialism means what makes morality, something moral or not, is the results, right? The outcome. And I said that one of the central critiques of consequentialism in all its forms is the, remember what I said, is the argument called the moral luck argument, right? Which is, right, you could get lucky, right? I mean to do well, and it turns out badly, that's immoral in consequentialism. And I mean to do something bad, it turns out good, I get, right, I did something moral, that I'm lucky. This is literally the moral luck case, right, is I thought I did something wrong, and through no, right, I had nothing to do with it not being wrong, right, but I got off lucky, and therefore I get kapara. But what is Rabbi Kiva saying? My havamina would be, you shouldn't get kapara. Why? Because, and we said the third main theory we talked about was deontological ethics, right? Where the fact that it's command, right, that's what makes it binding, right? You stick to values, right, because that is what you have to do, right? For both deontological ethics and virtue ethics, in this case, I intended to do the wrong thing. I carried through, I just on a technicality didn't get there. So on both of those, you would have thought that this is as bad. It's not telling you that thought is as bad. Right, it's not telling you that sin is defined by thought. It's telling you that intentionally actually manifesting your thoughts in action is bad, but it seems to be anti-consequentialist because, right, the Havamina is, right, as Chaim puts it, it's not that the intent itself is bad. It's that intent that I mean so deeply that I actually carry through thinking I'm sinning is equivalent to sin. The Havamina works for virtue ethics, for deontological ethics, because I actually thought I was doing the wrong thing. Right? What's the Maskana? It's not as bad. Well, so this is the problem. You could say, well, the Maskana is pure consequentialism. Right? Because Kamash Malan, that what matters is the action and not the intent, not even the intent coupled with... Ah, very good. The problem is, what's the maskana? The maskana is you get kapara, but you need kapara, right? So if the maskana was you don't need kapara, then what would that tell you? That halacha believes in a pure consequentialist system, and therefore it doesn't matter at all. You didn't do anything wrong. A pure virtue ethics or a pure deontological system might tell you that you don't get kapara unless you do tshuva. Right? Because you did something wrong, right? You actually right? You are clearly a bad person, right? You intended to do the wrong thing and you carried through. You just didn't even know, right? It wasn't bad, right? You thought that, you know, you thought that the... Let's use a case in the Gemara and Makkah, right? You tried to murder someone and you didn't realize that when you stabbed them through a hole that already existed in their heart, right? Dimma b'makom sayif nakav. Right? You meant to kill them. You didn't know. They were already dead. Right? You're a bad person. You're not the person I'm hanging out with at night by myself. It's a very dangerous situation to be in. Right? So, the Havamina, first of all, tells you that the thought to it sin, possibility one, or possibility two, the thought to sin coupled with action, which you thought was actually an instantiation of such said intent, is equivalent to sin, which, as we said, makes a lot of sense in a virtue ethics system or a deontological system or something like that, right? Kamash Malan, it's not, you get kapara, but it's not pure consequentialist either, because then you wouldn't need kapara, right? You got lucky, moral luck, right? But you get kapara, right? Which implies that consequences matter. The action itself matters. Good. But one more possibility. Now, so we went for the maximalist read, which was, this Gemara is talking about intent to sin in general. A more minimalist read is, no, it's making a very limited statement about the intent to sin coupled with an act that you thought was the sin. Right? Anyone want to narrow it even further at this stage? I don't care. It doesn't matter what I mean. Anyone want to say something different? Very good. Right? Is that if you took the case in the psukim, you could have thought that this is an exception because maybe nidarim are different. Why would Nidarim be different? Because you create the Isser. Now, that might make it better and that might make it worse, right? It might make it better because maybe you'll say, listen, we care about consequences when the act that's being done is objectively wrong, right? Think about deontological things, right? As I said, for Kant, the way you come up with what's wrong is the categorical imperative. You figure out if right? If the entire world would do this, would it lead to good or bad consequences? If it's good, then you're obligated to do it. If it's bad, then you're obligated not to do it, right? It has to be categorical. There are no exceptions. Nidarim is a bit weird because it's personal. Now, so that might have made it more what? Intention-based, because what created the Isser was my intent. Right? So that might have... you might have had a Havamina that for all other sins, what matters more is the action itself, but by Nidarim, what matters is the intention, because that's what created the Isser. Or, Lehefech, you go the opposite and say, right, Nidarim aren't real, so maybe, right, you created it yourself, they aren't, like, right, objectively real, and therefore, that's why you get Kapara. Maybe you wouldn't get Kapara by something else, where I tried to do something which had actual reality, right? So that would be an even more minimalist read. What would it hang on at this stage in the Gemara, whether that read is right or wrong? The Mashal. is how seriously you take the mashal, because you compare nedarim to eating non-kosher food. So if you take the mashal seriously, then it can't be a localized halacha neder, and you have to assume this is a universalizable rule to all mitzvot. Right? But if you say, no, it's just a mashal, but it's not an actual parallel, then you could say what you said, right? So now we have at least three. So what's clear in this Gemara is that it is somehow negotiating the extent to which sin is about what you intend to do and the action that is accomplished, but we're not sure, one, whether it's having a clean split between intent and action, possibly one, or action versus intent to sin coupled with an action that you thought was wrong, or possibly three, right? Intent to sin coupled with action in a case where it's a neder, where intention matters more because you created the iser through intention, and therefore this might be particularly unique, right? All we know at this point in the Gemara is that one of those three cases, we had a hava mina that intent to sin was so bad that you would need full kapara. Kamash malan, you don't. But it is something because you need kapara. So it's not nothing, but it's not a full sin either. Right? So it's clear that what the first stage of Gemara is negotiating is saying that what we have learned is the intent to sin, or the intent to sin coupled with actual action, or the intent to sin in the case of neder is sinful enough to require kapara, but not sinful enough such that you need tshuva to get said kapara. That is where we are, and this is why I said it's two pages, but you will see why this is a very intense, right? It is a very intense Gemara when you actually realize how complex it is. And along the way, we've said that this may depend on how you view ethical systems, and what you realize is that halakha doesn't neatly fit into a virtue ethics or a deontological or a consequentialist system, because none of them lead you to this particular conclusion. Very good. Before I move on to Gimel, any questions yet? Yeah.
Well, if you were to say that the cases.
I wasn't joking when I said this was much harder. Less McCurry, but this is much harder. You'd have to do surveys and you have to do close reads. I could, you know, depends on my mood. Yeah. Okay.
Neder is more lenient because it's not an objective issue, then you would imply that there should be a general leniency in neder, even not just.
Correct. You might think that. Correct.
But there is no general leniency if you're straight up breaking that up.
You're right.
So therefore that case shouldn't be.
Okay, good. I agree with you. Okay, so before I even go to Gimel, now we've just laid out the possibilities. Now give me a svara. Why does the intent to sin, A, or the intent to sin coupled with action, or we'll hold the neder one for a minute. Why is that something, anything, sinful? I don't know. Call it what you want. Why?
Because you're distancing yourself, and then there's need for teshuva to return. There's the distance, and then there's the actual.
Okay, there's distance from God. Okay, good. Someone want to give me a raya? Someone want to give me a you want? It's a good spark. Someone want to give me a raya that such a thing exists? I'll give you a good place to look. How many of you are conversant in Tmura? You're lost. So there is at least when I was in Smicha, I heard they changed it at some point. When you got your Bechina for Smicha, they always tried, you know, you have to read a Gemara, but they tried to give you a Gemara that most guys hadn't read. So they would pick ones from the Sechta that people didn't normally learn. So one of them was Nazir, right? One of them was Tmura. It was this sugya and Tmura, which why they would do this, like most people haven't read Tmura, but if they've read Tmura, they've read the Adapin, right? So if you look at the sugya and Tmura, Davdala, and Tsurvav, what? What? Yeah, definitely not. The person who gave my Bechina knew a lot more, trust me. Rai Schwartz is a very serious Talmud Chacham. That is not, not everybody do I judge so favorably, but no, he had no problem testing me in any daffin shot. But the Gemara there is in Machloket Rav and Abaye, Kol mil de Avid Rachmana lo Tavid, I Avid Mahani, I Avid lo Mahani. Whenever the Torah says don't do something, what does it mean? Does it mean don't do it and if you do it, it works? Or don't do it and if you do it, it doesn't work? Right now, in the end of the day, the Gemara says that their machloket almost never manifests itself. There's almost nafkamina because there's a gzeiras hakatzur that explains almost every case, right? So it comes out to like very, very few nafkaminas. But without getting into that, so what is the machloket? The Gemara says, well, why would you say kol milta David rachmana lo tavid yavid mahani? Why would you say that anything the Torah says don't do? It says don't do, but it works. Because otherwise, there's no consequence, right? If you say, don't marry a grusha, right, Cohen, don't marry a grusha, but what that means is, if he tries, it doesn't work, then what did he do wrong? Right, so what's the Gemara's answer according to the Shita, that, kol milta David rachmana iavid lo mahani, right? The avar amemra de rachmana, because he went against what God said. What do you care, right? God said don't, he did it. So there's no consequence, but he did it. He did something. He intended this, and he did something that was trying to go against God. There's no consequence. So what? Right? So either that shows that it's the intent to rebel against God, or Chaim's model, which is, no, he did an action trying to go against what God did. That's bad. Right? And therefore, if you focus not just on was the act fulfilled, but am I rebelling against God? Is my relationship with God changing? Whatever you want to formulate it, the in either intent purely or intent coupled with an action that you thought was sinful, even though it wasn't, both of those clearly affect your relationship with God. And in that sense, right, they are wrong. What about the act itself? At, so far in this stage of the Gemara, have we said anything but the act itself? No. So let's go to stage three. Implied, good. Gimel. Okay, next line. Kayose b'davar ataomer. Now that word, those words are mind-boggling to me, but I'll hold them for a second. Similarly, you find. Now this is very odd, but okay. Vilo, you know, who said this? You said, what's your name again? Benji. Benji said this. Right? Well, I can prove to you that the opposite case, where there's an action but no lesser intent, right? Lesser intent is also something, sinful, something, right? From Karban Chatas and Karban Asham, right? V'lo yadav v'ashem v'nasav v'no. Right? If you commit a sin, a very specific sin, a sin for which you would be chayev karet, if done b'mezid or mizad b'mezid, and you do it b'shogeg, so then you bring a karban chatar, and if you don't know whether you committed the sin, you bring in a karban asham. So the Gemara says, Uma mishen itkavein la'alot biado basar tle, biado v'ala biado basar chazir. If someone who intended to eat lamb and ate pig, kagon chaticha safek shel shuman, safek shel chelev, like a piece of fat that you don't know whether it's kosher or not kosher fat, Amar krav vinasa avono. The pasuk says, "And you shall bear your sin." Mishinat kavein alot biado basar chazir v'ala biado basar chazir. You intended that pig, and you did al achat kama v'chama. How much more so? Okay, I'm going to come back. Ignore for a second the four words that started at kayotze b'davar, because that is going to complicate our lives endlessly, okay? Freeze that. Ignore that for a second. Okay. Now what does the Gemara tell us? This is the inverse case, right? I...
If it makes sense that eating carbs that you intended to eat is worse than eating carbs that you didn't intend to eat. Well, it makes sense that if you try to eat carbs that you fail,
if I didn't intend to eat pig and I did, I vinasa avono, right? Then if I intend, so this isolates which?
This isolates the action.
Very good. So now we've done the inverse case, which is act minus intent is
still problematic.
Good. Okay. More, less, equal.
More.
Give me proof. Proof. Very good. Right? It's more problematic, right? Two riots. One is you don't get automatic kapara. You need a karban. Or if you don't even want to go that far, what is the difference between the first half of the Gemara and the second, or Bet and Gimel? The first one is, you get kapara, right? God will forgive you. What's the, this is vinasa avo, no, you shall carry your sin, right? And therefore you bring a carbon to get kapara, but the simple shot here is, okay, which is worse?
Well, yeah.
The action, right? Sin is more about action than intent. However, let's now complicate it. Good, let's complicate this. Okay, before you get kayote bedavar, don't complicate it. I want to complicate it before I really complicate your life. Okay, good. Complicate it, yeah. Okay, before that, yeah, let's complicate it. So like you did before, maximalist read is that this Gemara tells you that the act of sin is itself sinful, right? Let's say a consequentialist model, okay? What's the problem? Why is that maximalist read? Poke some holes in that maximalist read. Right, so it's, first of all, it's not as bad. Raya, you can bring a carbon, which you couldn't for a mason. Okay? Now that's not crazy, right? That, because that tells you the act is the main thing, but it's qualified by intent, which is what we have in American law, right? Poke some more holes.
What?
Just this line. Ignore the line before that. Just this line, complicate it. We'll link it to the second line in a minute. Just this line, complicate it.
Well, we don't actually know the consequences.
Well, you do. You have to bring carbon.
But we don't know whether or not you actually
said. Okay, good. So Mordechai says, well, okay, you need a carbon. But what does that mean? What does that mean, you need a carbon? What might it mean? Good. Mordechai obviously is being mechavein to machloket Rambam and Ramban. Kamufan. Right? I know that was your intention. Obviously it was your intention. Right? What's the problem? Why do you bring a carbon?
Were you not? Did you know?
Because you were there at my shir, and it's coming back to you because I gave this shir in Migdal on Shabbos, and it's coming, and you were sitting there. So now it's like in the back of your mind, you remember that I gave this shir. You're like, oh, hey, okay, good. Good. What's the problem? Why is it that you bring a carbon in doing an Avera B'Shogeg? So what does the Rambam say in Hilchot Shkagot? I didn't put it on the sheet. I gave it to you in the Ramban. I gave you the Ramban because he summarizes both, but don't look inside yet. The Ramban, the Rambam in Hilchot Shkagot tells you what? The Gemara there says that if someone, the Rambam says that if someone sleeps with his wife when she's not expecting to become anita, and she, by complete accident, like it's totally not the normal time of her cycle, she becomes anita while they are together. So what is the status of that sin? Onus. So he's not chayev at all. So what does the Rambam say? But a shogeg you are chayev. Why? Because ilu badak yafe, if you checked really carefully, you would have realized. So what does the Rambam tell you? So what is he telling you? What is the Rambam telling you in that point? That? What? Which means that even a carbon isn't really the act isolated from intent. It's just the intent problem isn't rebellion, it's flippancy. Right? If you didn't care, you weren't careful. Right? As opposed to the Ramban, who says that the one who commits a sin by accident is Ratzui Hashem, God loves you. So why do you bring a karban?
Because
the action creates a metaphysical reality that needs to be dealt with, right? So the Rambam thinks that karban itself is a hybrid of in act and intent. Right? The Ramban, on the other hand, thinks carbon is purely consequentialist, right? Correct? Now, this gets even worse because there's a few other problems, right? There's a lot of complicating factors, which is, first of all, that carbon you only bring for chiyuvei karet, right? But not for chiyuvei lavin. Which means that whatever theory you're going to come up with, you need to explain why it is different for different types of sin, right? Another thing you're going to have to solve is, why is this only true for shogeg? If you really are a consequentialist, then shouldn't anus also be a problem, right? A total accident, but an unavoidable accident or coerced act, right? How would the Ramban explain that? According to the Rambam, it's fine, because the act itself is not problematic. It's the act coupled with flippancy, right? And when there is no, right, when there's no disregard, you're not lack of care, right? You, someone held a gun to your head, right, and it's anus. Or you fell and tripped and you were mitasek, right? You fell down, you know, a flight of stairs and while, you know, you, Baruch Hashem, protected your skull, but that was only because it bashed into a, I don't know, a soft button that turns on a, you know, a fire on Shabbos, right? I mean, like, whatever, right? Like, you know, whatever, I don't know, right? The pillowfund, yes, the oak, right? Fine. You, it's a motion sensor. Fine, motion sensor, yeah, okay, fine, it's a motion sensor, okay? Right, or it's a voice activated one, right? That activates when you say, exactly, when you say, help, get a doctor, right? So, oh, the light's gone, right? Mashi, yeah, right? Okay. Whatever. Yeah, mashi, yeah, right? So carbon, it complicates things a million times over, because is carbon really isolating an act? That's a machloket Rambam Ramban. Right, and it seems to be only now. This before I look at that machloket in the Rambam Ramban, the bigger problem is the four words that I told you to skip over words, and now it'll make our lives a nightmare. Which is, in what sense is kayote badavar ata omer? This is the inverse of the first case. Kayote badavar ata omer. What do you mean? Just as we saw before. What do you mean? Before, we had intent with no action. Here we have action with either no intent or minimal intent or lack of care, something. But the, right? So, ma kayotze badavar ata omer. This is the opposite. Now, you could say, no, that's the point of kayotze badavar ata omer, is that the whole point is that the Torah is a hybrid system where the act and intent is both important. Haraya, there we have evidence, you need some sort of kapara. But the intent and by the act, right? Now, the question of whether we have now isolated the intent, though, right? In the first half, we weren't sure if we isolated intent or it was specifically the time that the intent coupled with inaction. The machloket Rambam Ramban on why you bring a karban is going to complicate it in exactly the same way on the flip. Right? So if you look here, I gave you just the Ramban, because the Ramban Allah Torah only says the Shita that you're Ratzui Hashem, that God loves you, right? And it's because of the metaphysical stain that you have to bring a carbon, you didn't do anything wrong, right? But in Shara Gemul, in Torah Adam, he quotes both Shitot, so just to save space, I gave you the Ramban, but just know that this is, if you only knew the Rambam and you only knew the Ramban al Torah, you would say it's machloket. Until you look at the Shara Gemul, we see Ramban himself is toying with these ideas. But these are the two models. He says, "Umahu chet." What is the sin of one who sinned inadvertently? Shlo nizhar ba'atzmo v'lo haya yarei v'chared al devei ha'makom baruch hu. That he wasn't careful. He wasn't afraid of God's word. Shlo yochal v'lo yaseh davar ad shividok yafeh v'yitkaleh lo adavar shumutar v'ra'ui lo lefi gzirotav shal kadosh baruch hu. He didn't check enough to see whether this is what God wanted. Well, derech adzo hutam chet ha'shkaga b'chol ha'torah. This is the reason for all shkaga, for all accidental sins. V'od, second possibility, shekol davar asur, anything which is forbidden, milachlecha nefesh umitameota, it dirties the soul and makes it impure. Dechtiv v'nitamtem bam. Right. So this is a drashon chazal where you eat not kosher, and right, we read it. It's red v'nitamtem, but there's missing the aleph, and therefore it's v'nitamtem. Right. And what does v'nitamtem mean? No, it's to be like stopped up. Right? Like, it's, right, like in modern Hebrew, mitumtam is like an idiot, because it's like, right, doesn't think clearly, right? It's stuffed up, right? Because it makes, the Gemara says, right, it makes you impure in some way. Nefichach nikra shogeg chode. Afal pichin ena shogeg ra'ui lehe'anesh al shigigato begehenom uber shachat. One who commits a sin by accident doesn't deserve to go to hell. Elosh yisarich meirof meodo avon. He needs to be cleansed. Ulit kadesh ulitaher, to be sanctified and purified. Mimenu kadesh ra'ui limala haugenet lemaazav atovim ba'olam haba, so that he can purify himself and be worthy of his place in the world to come. Lefichach chas hakadosh baruch hu alamo v'chasidav v'natan lem hakorbanot litkaper bahen hashgagot. And therefore, God in his mercy gave you karbanot to purify it. Right? So now we see the two shitot. Right? One of them thinks that what's the conclusion that we should derive from here? The act of sin is itself problematic, divorced from any intent to sin, because it has metaphysical impact. Right? Possibility two is, no, karban is itself not a pure result-oriented sin, right, the result sin, the consequentialist thing. It's a combination of sin with not as bad intent, but some sort of intent. Right? Yes. Oh, good. So now Chaim says, okay, why are you jumping over the questions I said before? Now let's answer Anus. Okay, so what about Anus? Before we continue with the Gemara, what about Anus? Why is it that you are not liable to a karban by something which is Anus or Mitasek or any of those categories, right? Why not? All right, so Anus is either coerced or total accident. Mitasek is I was in the middle of doing something else. I was doing a different act. Yeah, why?
You're not doing the action of the Esser.
Oh, very good. So the Achronim will say, the question to ask by Anus is, and this is famously a discussion of the Eger and in the Nesivos is Perish and Arachayim, right? That's how people put it. The Nesivos is Perish and Arachayim, right? He had a name. His name was, who is the author of the Nesivos? Or the Nesivot HaMishpat? I know, so Mordechai will do it. His name is, I'll tell you, it's okay. It's the summer, I'll tell you, but that was the right thing to do. His name was Reb Yaakov Ben Yaakov Loiberbaum, right? Reb Yaakov Ben Yaakov Loiberbaum. He also wrote a parish on Arachayim called Mekor Chayim. There are two, one by him and one by Reb Yair Bachrach, better known as the Chavos Yair, right? But yeah, you can't really say, oh, the Chavos Yair wrote the Chavos Yair didn't, Same person. So it's a machloket between them, whether Anus is, and this is the lamdus in the Acharonim, is it an act for which there is no liability, or either not an act, or an act without an actor, right? An alienated act, a disembodied act, right? So many of the Acharonim say the difference between Onus and Shogeg is that Onus is either not an act because I was doing something else, or it's a disembodied act, right? And that's why there's no liability, right? Without any intent, or because of coercion, the act becomes disembodied, right? And therefore, you would say, shogeg is still an embodied act, even if unintentional, and therefore requires at least a karban, where an anus or mitasek is a non-act or a disembodied act. So that would be one question that you have to ask. And the other, as I mentioned, is, why does all of this only apply by Averot for which you get karet or mitat bezdin, right? So if you think that it's about lo badak yapa yapas, you might just say, listen, capital crimes, it's not just enough to not do them, you should be really careful not to do them. But like regular crimes, you shouldn't do them, but like how careful do you have to be that you might not do it accidentally, right? Like yesh gvul, right? Or maybe you are liable, but like the liability is so low, so like whatever, do tshuva, I don't know. There's no consequence, I don't know. Right? What about according to the Ramban? Or the idea that sin is melachleched anefesh, it makes your soul dirty. So what? Sin, bas rachel doesn't make your sin dirty? That's a little bit problematic considering the drasha is on eating not kosher. Right? That's a little bit problematic. Right? So what would you say? What? So either you say it makes it less dirty, but it is dirty, and I don't know, you can clean it with tshuva, I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Or you want to be really fancy, you could say, no, it doesn't make your soul dirty. Oh, why not? Oh. So I mentioned this in the Shiva, if you remember it, right? But when I was in Yeshiva, so this was when I was in Shana Bet, so 2007, we had 2007-8. We had a wonderful Shabbos afternoon share at the time. Rabbi Bednarz, who's the Rashiv at one of the Rashiv at YU's Gross Kollel, was the Shana Bet Rebbe for in Gush. And on Shabbos, he had this legendary share where we just come over and we'd learn a sugya. So that's what he did for 3 years. Elamai, it was a problem. Because my chavrusa, of many years, at the time he was not yet Rabbi Doctor, though now he is, Shlomo Zakir, Bimikre happened to have followed Rabbi Bednarz from his previous job at NCA, right? And then he moved to Israel at the same time. So he'd been in Rabbi Bednarz's year for like 4 years. So at some point, Rabbi Bednarz was running out of the random topics that he did in Shabbos afternoon. He's like, there's only so many random topics you have, right? So he came up with this idea. He said, aha, I know what I'm going to do. Here's what we'll do. Is each Shabbos afternoon, you'll come to my house, and we will just go through all the most important lamdos on a masechta, and we'll do a masechta a week. This was his, what? So we're like, we're like, oh, that's a great idea. And then as he got up to pull a bracha off the shelf to start this insane project, I said, Rebbe, deal, but only if you go backwards, right? And I wouldn't say that to most people, but Rebbe Bednarz can handle it. And Rebbe Bednarz was like, well, I think his quote was, my ideas on Nida are not as formulated on brachot, but okay, right? So then we went backwards through Shas. Starting with Nida through Kachin. It was a lot of fun. Those are wonderful shirim. So when we got to Masechet Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Bednarz said, I have a teretz to the Ramban, and that is that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Daleth has a three-way machloket in Chazal. What is the definition of a ger toshav? Okay? So one shita is, it's a guy who rejects Avodah Zarah, right? The Chachamim say it's a guy who keeps the Shabbat, commits to keeping the Shabbat. Where Meir has a weird position, and that is, it's a guy who accepts all mitzvot except for Nevela. Nevela. Why Nevela? Because the Pasuk says, you give it to the Ger, right? Like, that you give it to the, right, to the Ger. You give it to the non-Jew, right? The Ger, which we assume is an halacha, the Ger Toshav. Which means that we have a pasuk that says he doesn't. Okay, that's weird enough. The Meiri quotes the Ravid as saying, like I said, the shirim were fun. So the Meiri quotes the Ravid as saying no. What it means is not just nevela, but it's a stand-in that a ger toshav is someone who accepts all itzurei karet and not itzurei lafen. So Rabbi Bednarz says, why would you do that? So he said, aha. If the Ramban says that the reason you give a karban is not because you did something wrong, but because there's a metaphysical reality to sin, so maybe the reason there isn't by lav is maybe lavim are isurei gavra, not isurei hefta, right? God told you not to do it, but there isn't a metaphysical reality that you're tapping into. And maybe what the ger toshav is being told to do is if you really believe in Torah, so keep the mitzvot that have some, are anchored in some metaphysical reality because you believe in the reality of the world, but the things that are not anchored in the reality of the world, they're about sivui, you don't because you're not Jewish, so you're not mitzuveh, right? He says if you believe that metaphysical theory, then that would explain the Ramban. Admittedly, this was a theory he threw out on Shabbos afternoon while presenting all the lamdos in the Masechet Avodah Zarah in like 2 hours, but that was his suggestion at the time. These were fun shirim. So much fun. Except when at some point he needed to use the restroom and he's like, okay, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Ziring, take over. And I was like, great, thanks. That was fun. It was so good. So much fun. So anyways, yeah. I gave for Moshe Islam just in the seventh paragraph. You're walking to Efrat. Is that a tchum hours away? They were fun. They were fun. So much fun. Right? Ben Arsh is an amazing Talmud Chacham. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, that's a fine problem. Good. Good. In a chanai. Okay, good. Now let's continue. So we've complicated this. Yeah, Marcel.
I also have a couple of questions.
Only a couple, yeah.
Well, two. Okay.
What did I tell you? I told you this is much harder. I told you. We have gotten, if you have noticed, by the way, we've done three lines in the Gemara. I'm just pointing out we've done three lines in the Gemara. Yeah.
So in the third line, it says, so in the similar instance, it says, so if one who intends to take lamb's flesh and says take swine's flesh, for, and then it says, for instance, one way to slice fat where it's a suffix. So that's already changing the case from one to the other.
Very good. Right. So Mordechai says, wait a second. Maybe this is different because you're talking about something where there was suffix. It's not what you didn't know, it was suffix. Oh, that complicates the picture. Very good, thank you. And guess who picks up on that? Line 4. Because Isi ben Yehuda says, wait a second. Hold your thought, 1 second. Let me just complicate it for you. I like your life miserable. I just do, right? So here's the problem, is that the Gemara just said, it invoked Asham. There's a problem by Asham. Is there a machloket? Everyone agrees that by Asham you bring a karban Asham if you're not sure if you did a sin for which you would be chayav akatas, right? The problem is that there's a machloket what type of suffix it is, right? There's a machloket in the sugyos in Kritos. One is what this shita said, which is even suffix shuman suffix chilev. Right? That is a suffix called, is a very specific kind of suffix called lo ikba isura. What is lo ikba isura? I don't know if there is an isur here. There's one piece of meat, and I don't know if it's kosher or not. So there's a suffix, but it's a suffix that's not necessarily grounded in reality. Right? But there's another sheet on the Gemara that no, you're only chayav in asham, in a very specific type of case, and that's what's called ikba isura. What's ikba isura? No. It's where there's two pieces of meat, one is chalev and one is shuman, and you ate one of them, don't know which it is, but you know that there was a non-kosher piece of meat present. That's a worse one. Now, the fact that we have a machloket about what type of suffix warrants asham complicates it, because is it the type of violating a sin where the lack of care or whatever was grounded in a doubt about the reality, or a reality which is present which I was not careful about in which one I gave, right? That further complicates it, so I'll just read it, and then you'll next question. That's Dalid is Isi ben Yehuda Omer, v'lo yadav Hashem v'namazo, u'mash mi shenitkaven la'alot v'yado basar tle, v'ala v'yado basar chazir, kigon shtei chatichot. Right? He says, wait, I don't hold of this lo ikba isura. This is only in a case of ikba isura of shtei chatichot, where there's two pieces of meat, achat shel chelev, achat shel shuman, v'nasa avono. Ha-mitkaveim la'alo b'yado basar chazir, v'ala b'yado basar chazir, alacha kama v'chava, al-davar ze yidavu ha-dovim. For these, let those grieve that are fain to grieve, to use the Sunsina translation, because whatever. Eat your heart out. I don't know. Be miserable, right? Be miserable, right? Be scared. Yes.
I want to throw my hat into the ring of intent.
Okay.
Of intent being based on a pasuk in Eo, where Eo brought the karbanos for perhaps his children.
Yes. Okay, Mordechai says, if you know Kol of Tanakh, if you know Kol of Tanakh. Right, if you know Eov, then you'll know that in the Chanami that Eov brought Karbanot because maybe his kids sinned b'machshava. Or if you wanted to know a Gemara, and because you didn't know Tanakh, you should know Tanakh, and I'm glad you do. Yes, and I'm glad that you're learning Eov with me. It's good, right? We will finish next year. We will finish, and you should read the book. It's so good. Mordechai, it is so good. It was so good. It was so good. What? No, the book that I read about Eov that I sent Mordechai by Carol Newsom. So good. So good. Eov is also really good. But this book actually started to make sense of the book. That's what's amazing about it. It was so good. But if you knew Halacha, you'd also know that, according to Chazal, there is a karban that is brought for bad thoughts, potentially, and that is an ola. Right? An ola. It could be on Yisrael, but it might also be And that is borne out by Sefer Iyov. Very good. Okay. So now the Gemara says, V'kol hani lamali. Hey, why do you need all these? Tzrichen, you need both. Why? Di'i tana gabe isha, if you only had the first case, by the woman, hatamuda by kaparas licha. In the case of the woman violating the vow, you need atonement, mishum di mi ikara isra ichave, because she originally intended to do something aser. Aval chaticha, safik shel chelev, safik shel shuman, dile hetera ichavein lo by kaparas licha. But if you intended for heter, now that is, wow, that is a loaded thing. You mean, wait, I didn't know whether something was kosher, so I intended for heter? I mean, you mean you didn't care, so I didn't intend for heter, right? Exactly. I didn't intend to, right? There's a lot packed in there. You might think you don't need. Vi it marhada, if you only the case of karban, the ika isura. There is an isur. You did something. Aval isha da fair la ba'ala, but in the case of the neder, the hetera lo teibai kapara oslicha, you wouldn't even need it because she didn't do anything. Because the neder didn't exist by the time she ate the ice cream. Vi it marhani tarte, and if you had both of these, hava min hani tarte hu disagilon vicha paros licha, I might have thought, now what's this hava mina? I might have thought that only in those cases could you even get kapara, dilo ikva isura, aval shtecha tichot achat shel chela vachat shel shuman, but in the case where there was an isur present, now watch this, it's a case where you don't know. You didn't know you were sinning, but the issue was present. That's enough for the Gemara to introduce the possibility, the Havamina, that
you can't get
kapara, or maybe you can't get kapara with that full tshuva, let's say, right? Dikli dar lo sagi le bikaparo slicha, kamash malon de lo shna. Kamash wanted to say. Okay. Now, what is clear to me is that the Gemara is having a very sophisticated conversation about the fact that intent and the actual action, both are part of sin. However, if I walk away from this and say, which is primary, the Gemara does everything in its power to complicate that picture to you infinitely by little phrases like, coyote baze, right? Right? Kigon, mixing and matching, right? And saying that together they teach you, as if they teach you the same thing. So, and again, remember, let's just remind ourselves how complicated this was, right? In stage one, we weren't sure whether it was telling you that intent to sin is sinful or problematic or spiritually something, right? Whether it was saying that the intent to sin coupled with an attempt to carry through with it that you thought was violating was a problem, or maybe that's only by nedarim. In line two, we said, well, karban, the fact that you did the action without the intent, might show that we have a consequential system of the action matters, but that hangs on the machloket Rambam Ramban, because according to the Rambam, the reason you're chayav by shogeg is because you weren't careful enough, which means there was a component of intent. According to the Ramban, you don't. But then you have the complicating factor of how do you defend it from anus and mitasek, right? Which is either according to the Rambam because there wasn't even the intent, or maybe because it's not an action or it's a disembodied action or something like that. Plus you've got to figure out why that's only true by karet and mita, because maybe lavin is different. Then the Gemara says somehow those are equivalent, even though they're inverses, right? And then we introduce the possibility that maybe there's a difference between ikva yisur and lo ikva yisur, and then the Gemara raises the possibility that you don't get kapara. What does that mean, you don't get kapara? Like, it's as bad as mazim, it's worse than mazim? I mean, what are you talking about, right? What is going on in this case? Is it worse than the action? Is it worse than the intent? I mean, what is going on, right? Because you look at it both ways. You could say ikva yisur is worse than the intent, because there's two pieces of meat, one of them is definitely not kosher, and I went ahead and ate it. Or you could say, no, it's worse than the action. Its presence, right, makes this like a more sinful act, because it's kavua, I don't know. Right, you can come up with whatever. But it's clear that by the end of this, right, if I ask you, the Gemara clearly has a very sophisticated conversation going on here about the extent to which sin is about intent, act, right, the carrying through on your intent versus the objective act. And by the end, what's clear is that the Gemara does not have a pure model, right? It's not purely about intent. It's not, right? So if I would ask you, is it purely consequentialist? Obvious, absolutely not, right? Intent matters. Is it purely, let's say, about intent, which could be explained virtue or deontologically or whatever? No, right? What the Gemara is saying is that full sin is that perfect hybrid of the intent to sin and sinning. Now, do we know by the end whether that's because we hold like the Ramban, that intent is bad, but there's also metaphysical reality, or intending to carry through on sin and carrying through is more of a rebellion than just intending? We don't know, right? We don't know, right? We're left. All these questions are still open by the end. And as we pointed out, these things, the Gemara equates this despite the fact that one of these two cases, meaning intent without action, needs kapara but gets automatic kapara. So we don't really have a good definition of why that's the case. But action without full intent, right, needs kapara, but needs you to actually carry out an action, namely bring the karban, which would make it sound like we're more consequentialist than we are intent, except maybe not, because that hangs in the Rambam, right, Rambam and Ramban, right? Okay. So that is, what? It's beautiful, right? You see that this very short Gemara, right, is very much asking what is a sin, right? And how much is it about intent? How much is it about rebellion? How much is it about the act, the objective act? How much is it about an instantiated intent, right? All that.
I'm pretty sure what you said before, that when repeating Gemara, that no one did, it takes another one of them.
Yeah, well, this also is in Kiddushin, so the exact same Gemara is in Kiddushin. Okay. So now, you go to four. Let me read you one more Gemara, and then we'll do Halacha L'Maisa and see how amazingly this is actually Halacha L'Maisa. Okay, one more Gemara. Itmar Shama Shetava Tinok Bayam. If you heard that a baby had drowned was drowning in the sea, Uparas Misuda Lalo Dagim Vehela Dagim Chayam, and it was Shabbat, and you set out your net to fish, and you caught fish. So now what have you violated? Sad, right? Trapping. Lalo dagim ve'elet tinok vidagim, and you caught the fish, but you also caught the baby. Machloke. Rabba amar patur, rabba amar chayim. Rabba amar patur zil batar ma'asav. Rabba amar chayav zil batar ma'chshavtel. Rabba says, your patur, look at what you did. Rabba said, your chayav, look at what you meant to do. Okay, now what? Someone tell me, what does this Gemara tell us? So, okay, give me the most superficial machlok, the explanation of machlok. What is the most superficial definition of machlok? Right, Rava is a pure consequentialist, and saving a baby is called pikuach nefesh. What? Rava. Doesn't matter. I'm not even sure the Gersa is right, because the Gersa, I think there's two Gersa on it, so one of them. Rava, as you have it here. Fine? You have that number. The Rava is a pure consequentialist, right? Well, You pull that a bit. One, I said simplest. What's that going to say? And Ravas is a virtue ethic. This is what you intended to do. You intended to do Machal Shabbos. You saved the baby. Good for you, right? But that's not what you meant to do. What you meant to do is fish. And what we'll say is thank you for saving the baby, and now we're going to put you to death. Right? Okay. Great. Right? Yeah. Oh, now Yosef says, "Whoa, that's overly simplistic." Right? Because if that was the machloket, then it shouldn't matter whether he knew about it or not. Right? It shouldn't matter whether he knew about it or not. If you care all you care about is consequences, right? So now Yosef says, okay, good, now spell it out. Yosef says, oh, I'm Nidaik in the first line. That's not what it says. It says you knew. So now what? Now what, Mordechai? Now what, Yosef, rather? Very good. So maybe it's not as pure as it looks like. What Rabba is saying is, look, in the end, he saved a baby, and in a hanami, his primary intent was to fish. But he didn't know there was a baby there, right? So that means his act was somewhat defined as pikuach nefesh, and he actually saved the baby, right? Right? So maybe, right, Rabba is saying, in a case where he also sort of knew that there was potential pikuach nefesh, and he actually did it.
Which is also not only after doing it.
Right, and that's what Yosef is medayek. And Rava is saying, Nevertheless, right? Nevertheless, machshava matters. But what type of machshava is this? Is this machshava the way we saw it in Kiddushin? No, it's machshava to do an isser, and he did an isser. Right? This dion is actually very different. It's not about, right, the Gemara in Kiddushin was where I intended to do a sin, I didn't. Right? Or, I didn't intend to do a sin, and I did. Here it's, I intended to do a sin, and I did a sin, and the question is, does the fact that that was coupled with saving a baby, does that redefine my action or not? And as Yosef points out, is it more complicated by the fact that I sort of knew that the baby was there, right?
So does, like, the little mixing of intent.
Correct, there's mixing of intent, and what else?
And this is a Shabbos, which is a bet and not a lot.
Good, and what? But what else is unique about Shabbos? So one is that, so there's two other unique things about this case. One is that there's Pikuach Nefesh, and Pikuach Nefesh breaks all rules, right? Or if you don't want to go that extreme, right? It's, right? So you could say this is sui generis because it's Pikuach Nefesh. You can also note that this is different from the Gemara in Kiddushin, because the Gemara in Kiddushin, the only two options are Avera or neutral. But maybe consequences matter when the alternative is not
neutral
but mitzvah. Who says that? Beis Yitzchak, if you look at number 5, Beis Yitzchak says, "Umashma delmandi amar pater, ain't gan shum chiyuv, akan ma'ar, just made the butter." I don't understand. You're telling me the guy met fish on Shabbos, and it sounds like he doesn't get any punishment, not midar abana, not midar raisa? Well, don't we know that intent counts? Right? What is the answer? Nira liatam, disham, nitzkaven l'dvar avera v'asa mitzvah pater l'gamre. Because if you did a mitzvah, the consequence of the mitzvah, this is moral luck, right? If you luck out morally, then you luck out. He says, no. If there's, you do a mitzvah, so then we care about consequences, right? That's what he says, right? And we do care about consequences when it comes to mitzvah. But you could have rejected, you could have taken a much less extreme thesis than the Beis Yitzchak in two ways. You could either have gone in Chaim's direction and said, this isn't about mitzvah, it's about pikuach nefesh. And by pikuach nefesh, we're consequentialists, right? Right, by pikuach nefesh, we say, listen, you could be the worst Rosh in the world, but you save someone's life, shkaif. Right, shkaif. Right? Or you could go in Yosef's direction, which is, whoa. This is, you knew about it before. It wasn't total lack of awareness. It's not pure consequential list, right? There was machshava there, so maybe that mitigated your sinful intent. And that's the point, right? But the Beis Yitzchak takes a very radical read and says, once a mitzvah is introduced, then, according to Rava, all we care about are consequences. And Rava denies that, right? But you could have pushed back at the Beis Yitzchak at two levels, right? Both by saying, maybe it's only pikuach nefesh, right? Or it's only when there is some machshava mixed in that the consequences coupled with the cognizance that there's a baby there that you might save, the combination of those factors helps. Yeah.
If you look at the fact that he knows that there was a baby and change it, that possibly you could change it to that he could have like jumped in and
Right. So this, right. What further complicates is what you're bringing up is, wait a second. If you actually think like Yosef that he might, in the back of his mind, be trying to get a baby, then why do we care about the consequence at all? Or even the front of his mind. He's taking advantage either in the back of his mind or the front of his mind, so then what are you going to say? If he's taking advantage of the Pikuach Nefesh case in order to fish, right? So how does that affect things? Right? Right. So this is, right, the problem with this case is you could come up with all types of variations, not totally clear, right? Is it saying that, well, he's fishing, he's taking advantage of the Gog and Magog, or he's using it as an excuse, or what if his primary intent is to save the baby, but, you know, he won't be sad if he also catches fish, or what if the guy, right, if you really wanted to go pure consequentialist versus an intent, what should the Gemara's case have been? I tried to save the baby, and I only caught fish, right? Am I chayav or patur? But no one would say that because everyone knows that attempting to save someone's life is mutter. Right? So you look at this Gemara, at first glance it sounds like such a nice lumdus. Oh, consequences, intent. But then you think about it for 5 seconds, like obviously not. Because if someone said, I only want to save the baby, and he happened to catch fish, everyone would agree that he was doing a mitzvah. Right?
What would you do with the fish?
What? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Even if you threw it back, he was already over the law. He was already over it, right? He already fished. And that no one would say he's high up, right? So it's clear that intent matters here, right? Okay, fine. So you have to I agree with you. You might run into technical problems putting in Chai Misa because you'd have two Adim saying, you should know that if you fish on Shabbos, and he says, I'm enough pain and the fact that there's a baby in the back of my mind. Aniosa. I mean, what does that do? I have no idea. Right? I have no idea. Right? I have literally no idea. Like, when I say I have no idea, I mean I have no clue. And if you want to look at the Rishonim, good luck. Do you know how many Rishonim there are on Menachot? I mean, come on. You have Rashi, Tosfot, the Miyuchos, the Rashba, and the Rambam. I mean, like, what do you have? Come on. I honestly... And the Knesset Rishonim doesn't even go that far. It only goes, like, the first two Prakim. It doesn't go that far. So, as amazing as Rabbi Lan is, I mean, he doesn't... I don't think he collects that. I mean, the Miri and that. But I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, you could... Actually, being Mechayev him would be much more complicated, because, yeah. Hasra'ah, I mean, like... Oh, yeah. I imagine the scene. It's a nightmare. Okay, good. So, now, we have thrown up a lot of possibilities. We've seen all of this. We will not solve all of this in one day. But what I want to show you in what time we have left is, amazingly, we can sit here and do lamdos and svara and machshava and whatever for hours. The problem is that, amazingly, this particular din became halacha l'maisa. When you're paskaling halacha, you need to make a decision. What does the conclusion now? How's the halacha? So watch this. Here's the shaila. Okay. As I said at the beginning, you are a Shomer Shabbos doctor, and you were assigned a Friday night shift. Okay. And now there is a non Shomer Shabbos doctor. Okay. Jewish, non-Shomer Shabbos, Jewish doctor. Same thing for soldiers, okay? Same idea, right? In a case where you have Kol Chavesh, let's assume, okay? Three possibilities. You switch. You wait 1 second. No, just practical. Before you give me the svara, what are the three things you could do at this moment? Switch. Not switch, or?
Don't do anything,
right? Switch. Dafka switch. Dafka don't switch. Or? Shave Altasa. Good. Now, based on everything we've seen, try to answer what you do and see why is all this headache, why is this relevant to what I just said?
So, intention is whichever the intention, you 100% need to stay with what you have because you know he's going to be over and
Very good. So Yosef thinks like Rishon Lezalman Arbach, and he says, what I've learned from these sugyot is that the main part of sin is intention, right? And therefore, if I'm a from doctor and I take a shift on Shabbos and I make sure to only violate Shabbos when it is mutter because of pikuach nefesh, so when I violate, it is a mitzvah because I have kavana to be kind of the mitzvah of v'chai b'hem v'lo shi'amud b'hem. But the non-from doctor, why is he being mechal Shabbos? Because he doesn't care. Don't push back yet. First, let's just see what Yosef says for Shlomo Zalman. Look at three. V'shamati me'agon Shlomo Zalman arbach zatzal. So Rav Neuwirth quotes Shlomo Zalman. It's also found in Michal Shlomo. Dinira the adif tve la sora melocha al yidei shomer mitzvot shegavanato la mitzvah. It's better to dafka have the from doctor Ki al yidei avaryana sher kavanato rakav or beta kesef, because the mechal shabbos, he's just doing it for the money. Avagav the kavin mitzvah, even though he's doing a mitzvah, who cares? He called makom have lekid kavin lebasar chazir v'alo biyado basar tlash. It's like someone who intends to eat not kosher and happens to eat kosher, which we said is eichshehu, sinful. The gam alzeh, he goes farther. Yesh mishum lifnei iver. If you switch, it's lifnei iver. The gam efshar de v'nidam nidim don garatzvei. It's worse. Kevan shebe'emet yesh chilul shabbat. There is chilul shabbat. It's not like basar tlei says, you think this is gemara in kedusha? No, it's worse. It's worse. Why? Because he was actually Michal Shabbos. It wasn't Basar Tled, Basar Chazir. It just happens to be Basar Chazir. You're allowed to eat. Right? But it's utter. V'yitachen zarafei nechshav ke'enu Michal Shabbat. It could be that you're only considered not a Michal Shabbat. Rakim nitkavein lahatzala. If you have kavana to save, one second. V'lo imitkavein l'tashlom. And not if you want to get paid. So Shlomo Zalman says, Intent. This is the worst case in the universe. You're actually being Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't have the right intent. Shomer Shabbos Jew. Keep the shift, switch the shift, whatever. Right? Because what we've learned from these Gemara is that intent is factor number one. Whoa. Okay. Push back.
Well, the fact that you're getting paid for it.
Okay, but wait. Chaim. Okay.
How is that
going to be? Okay, well, so Chaim said, whoa. Lift Aver requires not just that this is somewhat spiritually wrong, it requires that it's a Avera. Are you talking about it's an Avera? To save some life on Shabbos, Bemet? Bemet, really? Like what? And he's like, right, and then Chaim is going to say, well, that depends. Is Pikuach Nefesh Hutra or Dechuya? If it's Hutra, then it's not Asr at all. If it's Dechuya, it's Asr, but it needs to be, right? It's held in abeyance, but if you're on the right Kavanah, but if it's Hutra, Mapita, what are you saying? The sin doesn't exist. So listen to Yiver. Good, that's one question. Good, yeah. Well. Very good, right? Well, that is a very cynical view of doctors. I mean, maybe the guy doesn't, like, know all the lumpish terms, but, like, he didn't just go, he's not like, I hate human beings, but you make a lot of money from me. Presumably, most of them are altruistic, so then it's a much more complicated conversation, which is, he wants to save his life, he just doesn't realize Shabbos, or make it more complicated. Rav Sholzman's writing in Eretz Yisrael. Most kilonim are at least aware of the principle called Pikuach Nefesh Dochei Shabbat. Right? Even if they don't keep Shabbos, they're aware of the fact that even from Jews will be, right? Especially if they're like working in Shari Tzedek, right? Shari Tzedek, literally, they have like Shabbos pens and Shabbos, you know, grumma buttons everywhere to minimize Kol Shabbos. Like, he knows, right? This idea that you can be Makal Shabbos to be Kol Nevesh, but you should minimize it. Even if he doesn't care, he's aware of it, right? So Rishon Zalman, also, that's like a very cynical view, right? Yeah, what else? Mordechai.
Wait, if you're getting paid for a job that you have on Shabbos...
Okay, good. Mordechai said, wait a second. So does that mean that if I'm getting paid, that removes the right kavanah? I mean, what? Right? Yeah, okay, what else? Good.
And also, you could break
more
anyway.
Oh, hold that thought. We haven't gotten there yet. You're right. Ramosha's going to say that. Also, before you get... But...
And also, there is not community between being a doctor and being a soldier, because a soldier, you just have to... You could just...
So hold that for a second. So here you have two very important people who pushed back on him for two very different reasons. Okay? Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg pushed back. Okay? Now, Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg pushing back is a big deal because he was Rishon LeZalman's son-in-law. Right? So this is also personal. Right? What? Family feud, sure. Zalman Nechemiah was very, very smart. He was known by his acronym, which is the Gaon of Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, which is the Garzen, the axe. Right? He was just known for being sharp as anything. So he points to the Gemara and he says, whoa. I don't know what you say in general, but what did the Gemara and Menachot tell us? That at least whatever rule you have in general, Pikuach Nevesh breaks all rules. Right? Either the maximalist read of the Beit Yitzchak, that anytime there's a mitzvah, suddenly consequences matter, or at least When pikuach nefesh is accomplished, all that matters is consequence. Now, he doesn't say this, but you could take Yosef, which is, or pikuach nefesh, which at least a basic cognizance of the fact that you could save somebody's life helps. And this is a much better case, because unless you're super cynical, right, this is not a case where he's doing some act that might, that he's not fishing and he happens to catch a baby. He's performing life-saving surgery, right? He just happens to not care about Shabbos, right? So there's like, you can push back on him for so many reasons because this is pikuach nefesh, or because it's a mitzvah, right? And whatever exactly your conclusion you're supposed to gather from the Gemara in Menachot, or you can have a much more practical one, which is, Rav Moshe says, listen, I have a very easy consequentialist view of this sugya, and that is, the guy doesn't care about Shabbos. He's my college Shabbos. What's he going to do if he goes home today? He's going to go drive to the beach, right? Right? No, that's not what he says. He said very simply, he said, listen, the guy's going to be Michal Shabbat either way. But he has two choices. You can let him be in the hospital where a lot of what he's going to be doing is mutter because it's pikuach nefesh. Objectively. Right? Right? Or he's going to go home and it's going to be Chil Shabbat Shalom Beheter. So Rav Moshe, how does Rav Moshe respond? How does he read all these sugyot? Well, but what is the ethos of it, right? If I shoved the Gemara in Kiddushin in Rosh's face and said, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman says you learn from the Gemara in Kiddushin, then intent matters. What will he look at that Gemara and say?
Exactly.
No, consequences matter, right? Right? Part of the Gemara is that intent matters. Part of it is consequences. Why are you prioritizing? And as we saw in the Gemara, which seems to be more primary? The action, because one of them you need kafara to get it automatically, and one of them you at least need to do an action, which at least slightly pushes towards the consequences mattering more. So Moshe says in 6, V'yish tam gadol lahatir af miyudim jenem shomrei Torah, shigam kisharu b'veitam yichalu Shabbat. Even if they're home, they're going to be michal Shabbat bim meizid. B'chol melachot shenizdamin lo pachot melachot shiasa v'edacholim b'yisur. Shimken imbazit lifnei iver, fazeh shukhlu ma'melachot melachot. What type of lifnei iver? He's giving michal Shabbat anyways, right? And it's better because now a lot of what he's doing is mutter. In the hospital, he's going to save people's lives, which makes things mutter, and they'll do a lot of things which are not as answer as he's home. He's cooking dinner, right? So you see that Rav Zalman Nechemya, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, how do they end up judging this sugya? Shlomo Zalman does it by saying, what I've learned from all these sugyot is that intent is primary. Even when it's Chil Shabbos, L'shem Pikuach Nefesh, right? Rav Moshe says, not be dumb, I'm a consequentialist here, right? Do the calculus. He's going to be Mechal Shabbos anyways. One is Mutter, one is Aser. Dafka switch. So Shlomo Zalman says, Dafka, don't switch. Take the frum Jew should take the shift on Shabbos. And Shlomo Zalman says, Rav Moshe says, no, switch, have the nod from Jew there, because consequentially it'll be better, right? Rav Shlomo Menahar, in a very, very bizarre article in Tchumen, and this I will tell you outside, because this is, just weird. And he says, this is really out of left field, we did not say, but I have to tell you what he says. He says like this. He says, we follow the standard psak nowadays, is that not from Jews, Bizman Azeh, what status do they have? Tinok Shenishba. Right, Tinok Shenishba, which is an application of, it's basically, right, the short version of this is that the Gemara in Shabbat, in the 7th Perek, has a series of sugyot, right, of someone who literally was captured as a child, doesn't know that he's Jewish, and therefore he's Mechal Shabbat, he's considered a shogeg. He says, Tinok Shenishba is the status of shogeg. Shogeg. No, because the Gemara, the whole Dion in the Gemara is how many karbanot does he have to bring? Right? So he has to bring one, right? But he has to bring a karbanot, he's a shogeg. Right? Then the Rambam says in Hilchot Mamrim that what? The second generation Karaim, not the first generation Karaites, but their children, because they were born into a culture of Karaism, they are Ki'ilu Tinok Shenishba, and therefore they have the status of Shogeg, And then in the 19th century, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger in Shuvah Chadashot of Binyan Siyam Shuvah Chal Gimel says the same is true of non-Orthodox Jews in his time who clearly believe in God because they say Kiddush even though they drive on Shabbat or whatever the case may be, right? And there are different versions of this, right? So now, but what's the problem? Watch this. This is like really weird. Now what does he do? He says, okay, what does that mean? So if a non-Shomer Shabbat Jew is a Tinok Shenishba, he's an Omer Mutter, so what does that mean? If the from Jew is Mechal Shabbat for Pikuach Nefesh, it's a Mezid L'Shem Pikuach Nefesh, which is Mutter. But if the non-religious Jew is Mechal Shabbat for their life, it's a Shogeg. And what's the general rule when you have to be Mechal Shabbat? You have to violate Isurin to save a life. Hakal hakal. You always violate it in the least way possible. And therefore, he says, the fact that they are considered Dinah Shanishma makes everything they do Shogeg, and therefore you should have to have him, the non-from Jew, work on Shabbos, because then both of you, it's Mutter, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, but for him, it's Shogeg, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, for you, it's Mezid. I find that argument totally not compelling, for so many reasons. Right? But, yeah. Though he notes that during Mahama you shouldn't do it because it will just create a bad situation. Fine, some technicalities. He's talking about the soldier case. I think this is extremely problematic because really, like, wait, now you're telling me that he's not from Jew who knows the halachot of Shabbos, knows that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Bikoach Nefesh. Let's say he's not, right? Let's say he's like some traditional Sephardi Chiloni, right? So, like, he knows that he keeps Shabbos, he just doesn't. But, like, he actually is, when he's saving someone's life on Shabbos, he's doing it l'shem mitzvah, right? So now you're telling me it's better because he's a, like, is a tinoch shenishba and therefore doesn't have a, I mean, come on, really. It's very, very hard for me to swallow this. But okay, that's his argument. So far we've seen arguments now. Rav Shlomo Nahar is not really based, it's sort of based on our sugya, but in a very weird way. But Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman are really based on our sugya, which is saying, well, do I care about intent more? Is that the conclusion I come with, or do I care about the act more, right? And Rav Zalman Nechemia says, no, this is the complicated case of a mitzvah involved, which is either mitzvah or pikuach nefesh, right, depending on how you take it, right? So he focuses more on pikuach nefesh being different about consequences. Rav Yosef Tzriyimon in his handbook for soldiers focused on Beis Yitzchak, right, that mitzvah is different, that whenever a mitzvah is done, we care about consequences, not just pikuach nefesh, right? So we've seen you should dafka switch and you should dafka not switch. The last one I'll tell you is Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog's answer is Shev El Tasa. Why? So, what? Right? So let me give you a little bit of background on this. This is his tshuva about soldier switching. He has another one about police, where he was asked how police should function on Shabbos. And there he says, he goes through a very long deal about what's mutter l'shem pikuach nefesh, what's not, da da da. And in the end he says, I'm not really sure how to define safek pikuach nefesh with based on statistics, but there aren't many from Jews in the police force. So I don't have to answer the shaila l'maisa now. Okay? I have a theory. Then Rav Shaul Yisraeli wrote a vicious letter back to him, and he says, ma pikuach, right? That the way you're poskening implies that you're only a posek for from Jews. That's not the job of a posek. The job of a posek is to posken for everyone, what Jews should do. The fact that most people don't care doesn't mean that your responsibility as a posek isn't to posken towards an ideal society. Right? By posking from Jews, you are accepting the reality that the Torah is ki'ilu only accepted, right, is only for some people. Right? I tend to think that Rav Yisraeli got to him, because then in this tshuva, which is the last source, where he was asked about switching shifts for soldiers, Look what he says. He says, "Vinei ad kan dibarti rak mibchinat halacha." Until now, I've taught halachically. Avo yishgam tzara acher l'nyanza. There's another part to this. Shila asot sidurim ka'ela ben adatim l'lo adatim. To make all these equations, zei yeh nirek ilu anachnu mashlimim mitziyut shel shnei minei yahadut shkulim zekin egezem itoch ha'omai. It's as if we've come to terms with two different types equal Judaism. Torah Judaism and non-Torah Judaism. Right? I'm okay with it because I'm predicating my psak, but maybe that's not a legitimate way to paskin. Right? Maybe you can't paskin on the basis of the reality that some people just don't care about halacha. That's not the Java posing. The Java posing is a paskin as if everyone cared. He says, Yadut Dati, Yadut Chiloni, as if there are Jews that are Dati and Chiloni. Halo be'emet, alein lich tayer, tamid al-chav shiv Yisrael. We have to be in pain of this freedom. And Davin, the God, sheds his light, right, shows his light to them. Hamunah be'elokim Chayim, and gives them faith in the living God, of the Torah Chayim, Shemen HaShemayim, and the Torah from heaven, V'yashiv Lev Avot Al Banim, V'Lev Banim Al Avotam. V'harbei Yesh L'achush L'da'ati. And in my opinion, you have to be worried, Shem Yisidurim Ka'ilu Yivater HaRoshim Ki'ilu Kvar Yitya'ashnu Mehem V'nichal Anu Chas V'Shalom Shiyu Shabbat Goyim Ki'ilu Gam Hifkarnum Yeyush V'Hefker Ke'echad. And these, right, working these arrangements now will give the impression that we've given up on them, and it's okay, God forbid, that they are our Shabbos Goyim. And we've given up and relinquished on them, right? So he says, listen, you don't understand, whatever you think on the Shlomo Zalman, Ramosha thing, of what's more important, intense sin, you've got to understand, this is not in taking place in a vacuum. Taking place where you can only make these cheshbonot if there you give a chalot to non-Shomer Shabbos Jew. Now this is like the inverse of Shlomo Nahar, right? Shlomo Nahar is like, yes, non-religious Jews have a chalois shogig, and therefore you should always have them do your chil Shabbos, because they are in fact your Shabbos, not Goyim, but your Shabbos Tinoko Shanizma, right? And right? And he's like, that's not how you bomb in halacha. There's none of those things work. Okay, but with that, what I read, so that's just sort of interesting. But what I wanted to show you more was emotion of Shlomo Zalman, even though Rav Herzog to me is such a very powerful truth about how psak works in general. But what I wanted to point out is that by the end of the sugya, we saw the Gemara has this very complicated halachic, hashkafic discussion. What's more important? The intent, the mitzvah, intent coupled with the sin. What type of mitzvah is nedarim different, right? Do consequences matter more when there's a mitzvah involved or pikuach nefesh involved? Or is that only, as Yosef said, when there's intent in the back of your mind? We had all these possibilities. The problem is, it's very nice when you have lamdos, but then when you're halacha, right, psak, you have to actually make a decision. What you see is that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe and Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg look at these sugyot and, you know, actually, as complicated as it is to figure it out, because both elements, all these elements are true, Shlomo Zalman ends up learning from these Gemara that intent is the more important part of sin, and therefore we make decisions based on intent. Rav Moshe says, what we learn from this is consequences are more important, and therefore we make cheshbonot based on, right, the consequences. Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg says, pikuach nefesh changes the equation there, we care about consequences. Rav Rimon says, mitzvah, like the Beis Yitzchak, means that we care more about consequences, right? And this highly philosophical Gemara, you realize suddenly actually might have halachic implications, because sometimes you actually are called on to figure out, well, how do I balance the intent of sin and the act of sin? And at least for Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Rimon, and Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, that's actually what's going on in the sugya, and that dictates whether you should dafka switch or dafka not switch. But as we saw, that Lamaita, the problem is that, right, as Rav Herzog points out, to do that, you have to assume that there really are different statuses of Jews, which is very problematic, because it may just be that even if that was true, you can't paskin that way. Right? I mean, even if Machshav was more important, or Maita was more important, or whatever, it still may not be that you can paskin on the assumption that there are people going to break halacha. That may not be how halacha works, which I think is a very important point, which is the inverse of Shlomo Nahar, who's like, yes, that is exactly how halacha works, which I can't buy.
Yeah,
fine. You'll get the last word, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fine, you can have the last word,
Mark. What's that point?
The Ikva Yisura and Lo Ikva Yisura.
Okay,
right. That's even though Ikva Yisura and Lo Ikva Yisura is a difference in Karban Asham, for the purpose of like this metaphysical culpability, it's not a difference in the sugya, I think. Yeah. No, go, go, go. Take the last one.
No, it's somewhat unrelated. It's more related to the previous episode.
Fine, then we'll stop so that people don't feel guilty about leaving because it's now 11 o'clock. So guys, but I hope from that you learned how a very careful and very complicated read of what seems like an agadic sugya can A, philosophically be very complicated, B, have halachomaisa implications because, and as you can see, for those of you who are Tuesday, I promise you I would fill out the sugya of what is sin and how do we define it. I hope I've done that at least a little bit now. Yes, my original card are much longer, but I promise you, two pages and we still would struggle to get through it even though half of it is translation. Yeah.